Welcome to Your Inner Radiance, your new go-to for self-love practices, yoga lifestyle inspiration, and Ayurvedic tips to support you to uncover your inner radiance. Welcome back to Your Inner Radiance. Today on the show, I'm so excited that I have Katrina Blair here. She has been a friend and really a mentor and inspiration to me for years. Katrina began studying wild plants in her teens when she camped out alone for a summer to focus on eating wild foods. She later wrote the wild edible and medicinal plants of the San Juan Mountains for her senior project at Colorado College. In 1997, she completed a master's degree at John F. Kennedy University in Orinda, California, in holistic health education. She founded Turtle Lake Refuge in 1998 in Durango, Colorado. It's a nonprofit whose mission is to celebrate the connection between personal health and wild lands. Turtle Lake Refuge is a wild-harvested, locally grown, and living foods cafe and sustainable education center for the community. Katrina teaches sustainable living practices and wild, edible, and medicinal classes. She's also the author of a book called Local Wildlife, Turtle Lake Refuge's Recipes for Living Deep, and The Wild Wisdom of Weeds, 13 Essential Plants for Human Survival. I got to work for Katrina when I first moved to Durango sometime between 8 and 9 years ago at the Turtle Lake Refuge Cafe, and learned so much. At that point, I didn't really know much about preparing raw foods, you know, except for, of course, salads and smoothies. And I really didn't know much about wild foods. And so I learned so much there from Katrina and from the other wonderful people who work at the cafe. And since then, I've just continued to be fascinated and inspired by the bounty of wild plants, the incredible wisdom and nourishment that they offer, and the fascinating connection between humans and the wild plants, and how we are interconnected and how much we can actually support each other. I'm so excited to talk with Katrina today and introduce you to her wisdom and to the incredible wisdom of the wild plants. Katrina recently was a featured presenter at an event I produced called Wild Heart Women's Gathering. She came and we went outside and she showed us all of the amazing edible plants in that place that we were, Deer Hill Expeditions. Beautiful grounds in Mancos, Colorado, and she taught us which ones were edible and what kinds of beautiful properties they had. We harvested some. We made this wonderful tasting green juice with fruit and the greens, and we'll talk more about green juice in the episode. And it's just always a pleasure to be around Katrina, and you'll see from our conversation that she's so wise yet so humble and so soft yet so powerful. So I'm really excited to introduce you to her. And by the way, my next women's retreat is coming up in October, again at the beautiful grounds of Deer Hill Expeditions in Southwest Colorado. It's a weekend of healthy living, Ayurvedic meals, and yoga, song, dance, connection, ritual. Beautiful time in this gorgeous place on these grounds with grasses and trees, and I would love for you to check it out. You can find more information about that at awakenedheart.org. Without further ado, let me introduce Katrina Blair. Welcome, Katrina, to Your Inner Radiance podcast. I'm so excited to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. I feel honored to be your guest.
Well, I am so honored to know you and be your friend, and I've just learned so much from you over the years that have inspired me to really look at the land around me in a new way and really get to become more intimate with the plants in my yard and in my neighborhood, and really empower myself to care for myself in a new way with these beautiful weeds, which I know you're so passionate about. You've written the book, The Wild Wisdom of Weeds, and you've inspired so many of my friends. And I just love the community around here that is coming to so much appreciation of what we consider weeds. And so I guess the first question I want to ask you is to just share a little bit about your background and how you came to know about and care so much about these plants.
Well, I grew up here in the Durango area, well, in Durango. And one of my earliest memories of really connecting with the plants was when I was 11. And these plants on this, on Havilland Lake, on the shore of Havilland Lake, really called me over. I was on this little air mattress with my brother and cousins, and they went back to have lunch, and I continued paddling and just went around the corner and disappeared. And these plants really just attracted me over, beckoned me over, and crawled barefoot through the muck and sat down with them and just got the highest high, like such a euphoria that I'd never experienced before. And these plants just communicated, you're home and you're going to live your life with us. And I think from that moment on, I just was infatuated by plants and wanted to learn everything I could. And I decided right after high school to camp out up in the woods by myself and just eat all wild edible foods that summer. And so that was up Junction Creek and just learned so much. I had lots of books with me and I would taste things. And my mom was such a great support, both my parents, but she would muscle test. So when we would muscle test together if it was edible or not. And then I just kept studying and learning that way and through some trials and errors for sure too. But then went on to grad school with a biology degree and I was able to do these independent studies where I'd go to the woods for a month and then write a paper multiple times through that program through just college. And yeah, the plants really have just been such a strong direction.
Yeah, that summer sounds really amazing, and I know that your mom has been a big influence on you, and I know Pat and a little of that story, but I'd love for you to share with our listeners about your parents and the story of how your mom came to juicing and that big effect on you.
Yeah, so I grew up with my mom who had arthritis before I was born. Actually, she got arthritis when she was 17 and had pretty severe rheumatoid arthritis from 17 on. And really, she went 12 years in her up, growing up age of just so many surgeries and so many drugs and medication. And her arthritis just continued, and she continued to degenerate and really replaced almost every joint in her body. And so by the time I was 2 years old, she got inspired to do a juice fast. And after juicing for 4 days, her chronic pain of 12 years disappeared. And it was one of those moments for her. It was a huge wake up of, I think in her mind, what have I been missing this whole time? And so she began my brother and I on green juices twice a day, like before breakfast and before dinner, and then lots of living foods and sprouts and just whole foods in general. And so that was a huge influence where she taught my brother and I to be the master of our own health. And then luckily, my mom actually doesn't have arthritis anymore. She still has a body that has been worked. But as far as chronic pain and all of that and continual degeneration, that's gone, which is incredible.
It's so incredible. Every time I hear that story and just think about your mom, I'm just amazed, and I love that story, and it's so inspiring to me to eat more raw and wild and living foods. So yeah, if you could tell us more about why raw and wild and living foods, what are their benefits? Why is it so important?
Yeah, so with my mom's experience, and then she just brought my brother up with that awareness of our own bodies and health. And then my dad, he was an outdoor enthusiast, skier, climber, mountaineer, and he really opened the doors to the wild for me. And so if I was on this journey of optimal health, if I combined, the fresh things, my mom's wisdom, plus the wild places of my dad's wisdom, together they brought me to this next level of realizing, wow, when we're eating something that is still living right off the earth, it's at its highest vitality. and it has this nature's intelligence that's just at its prime. And then, especially if we're utilizing the wild foods, because the seeds and the intelligence of those seeds that have been evolving over time for thousands and thousands of years without being altered or cultivated, there's just an additional level of I guess I just call it life vitality and resiliency of these wild plants. And so, yeah, just eating a lot more like a wild animal brings this incredible well-being. It's almost like we're getting to, be a channel of the wisdom of nature in its really high optimal state every time we eat something directly from the earth.
Yeah, I've come to understand that, like, the plants in their wild element, they're so purely connected to the life force intelligence that's flowing through the universe, which we as humans, with all our distractions and ego and misinformation, we just get distracted from. And these plants are just purely connected to that source of intelligence. And so when we are in relationship with them and consume them, they're like sharing that pure intelligence with us.
Yes, exactly. It's like this cycling that we're totally open and connected to. And I think you're right. Anytime we process, alter the foods, package it, preserve it, store it, ship it, pesticide it, we're cutting off access to this incredible generating energy cycle that is circulating all the time. And our bodies are naturally at that state.
So it seems like a lot of people these days are interested in their health and empowering themselves to take care of their bodies and eat well. And there's this big movement to eat superfoods from all over the world. And what I've learned from you and what you're sharing in your book is that there are superfoods that are in abundance all around us for free, right? So tell us about how we can just have access to incredible nutrition and wild superfoods all the time.
Yeah, it's so true. We are so gifted by, there's plenty of weeds out there, and I wrote a book that highlights 13 of them. But these 13 weeds that grow everywhere in the world next to humans are one of the best superfoods out there, because a superfood is super because it's still vibrating in its life force energy. So when you pick it right from the land and put it in your mouth, that's what makes it super. If we ship it from far away, it still has great value, but it isn't at that vibrating, life force high. Eating something so fresh, like how fresh can you eat it? Just right when it's still growing, without even using your hands, just, get on your knees and start chomping. The fun part about eating the wild weeds is that they're completely often overlooked or even disregarded in a big way, which we can talk about later, about their being on the noxious weed list and being sprayed and wanting to be eradicated. And yet there's this secret in them that whereas like lamb's quarter has 60% more iron than spinach, or dandelion has way calcium than any milk product. And purslane is the highest amount of vitamin A of any vegetable. And these are just the low out of our garden thinking they're a nuisance. And yet somehow we've overlooked this incredible, these treasures. Time to just bring it back into our life and realize how rich we are by having really nothing. They're free and often available and in abundance.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's been so empowering for me. I know that some people, it's hard to get started. It's hard to know when you've been in a culture that's overlooked them for so long and sprays them with these horrible chemicals to try to get just this pure green grass in the yard. And some people might feel apprehensive about picking something and knowing whether it's even safe and good for them. So how do you suggest people get started learning about the bounty of, wisdom and health that's probably in their backyard?
It is true, said it takes a little bit of an extra effort to get over the hump of something new, integrating something new into our life. And so probably one of the easiest ways is starting with the most plant. Whatever plant is, it might be a dandelion where you feel so confident. Yeah, I can recognize dandelion. And then just begin by putting the dandelion in your smoothie or in your salads or on your sandwiches or just taking a bite of it right there in the yard. And letting the medicine of the plant or the wisdom of the plant start teaching you from the inside out. And it seems how once you get it in the body, then our bodies start resonating with it. We become it. We are what we eat. And so all of a sudden we're part dandelion. And that is a big, it's a big gift because the dandelions are so resilient and they know how to survive without any water, without any tending of the soil, you know, and they travel all across the world. They live on every single continent. And so this brilliance becomes part of our cellular makeup when we start eating it. And then that opens the door to more confidence and more intuition and listening to our instincts. It's amazing how that just begins the pathway of getting more comfortable with things.
Yeah, that's a beautiful way to get started. I'm sure a lot of people know, for example, about dandelions, and that's one of the first ones that I really got started with. And I pick dandelions all the time now and add them to smoothies and juices and tell people how to make green juice, because I think it's so amazing that it's so simple. And it, you know, a lot of people might think it's so complicated and you need a juicer and all that, but you don't. So tell us about your amazing way to make green juice.
Yeah, so green juice is a pretty simple thing. And I grew up making it twice a day with my family. And we would often use comfrey leaves in the summertime, in the morning and in the night. But in the wintertime, we would use either wheatgrass that we grew or sunflower greens, or we would buy spinach or parsley or kale. But when you're integrating green juices from some wild weeds that might be growing in your yard or your garden, you could use purslane or lamb's quarter or dandelions or mallow. And I'll just grab a couple handfuls of leaves. And this morning I used dock and amaranth and purslane. And you can put them in your blender with some water, like plenty of water. And if you wanted to throw in an apple or a lemon, you can do that. And then blend it all up. And then if you want to strain out the pulp, you'll have this amazing green juice that's very quick to make, easy to clean up afterwards, and very hydrating, and provides your body with chlorophyll and enzymes and a lot of minerals.
Totally. I love that. And, you know, I usually sweeten mine with a little agave or honey, and even my 6-year-old son loves green juice. So I'm grateful I learned that from you.
Yes, that's so exciting.
Yeah. And it's amazing, even thistle, like, you know, everybody thinks thistle is this big nuisance and it's so prickly. But what I learned from you is that even thistle can go in the blender and then you can just pour it over the strainer and all the prickles just strain right out.
And it's the most alkaline juice of any juice. So thistle is really one of the prime green juice materials because it's not bitter and it's really succulent and provides so much nourishment and healing for the body. So yes, yeah. It's exciting when we take something that maybe intimidated us or was a villain in our world and turning it into one of the best resources.
Yeah. And can you talk a little bit more about alkalinity? And, you know, I think probably a lot of listeners have some idea about it, but could you explain about why, you know, eating more alkaline foods is important?
Yeah, it seems to me what I understand is that about 95%+ of human illnesses are stemmed through the body's getting too acidic. And that's just pretty easy to do in this modern culture with so much refined food and a lot of stresses and exposure to toxins. So it's interesting when we get an illness, it might have a different title per person. You know, I've got this sore this or this outbreak here or this experience, but a lot of times they can all be narrowed back down to just an acidic condition in the body. And so if we go back down to that root, when we bring in the wild greens and start eating them in our daily diets and juicing them, that shifts our alkaline into an alkalinity. So it changes our body chemistry to shift us back into more of an alkalinity instead of the acidity. And when we do that, then our body's wisdom, which knows how to heal itself effortlessly, just kicks into gear. And it doesn't matter the symptom or the title of our disease or illness. When we go back down to that core root of shifting the body chemistry through wild greens, the body's intelligence will heal no matter what the ailment is. It could be a cold or it could be cancer. The body knows how to regenerate from that alkaline state.
And it's, again, it's amazing because these plants are just offering themselves to us in abundance and they're free. And it's such a simple way to shift our state back into health. I just love it so much. So another thing I want to talk to you about is how, and what I've learned from you and what so many, you know, people are gaining from your book is that these weeds are so precious and important, and that really this idea that we shouldn't have them and that we should have these perfectly, you know, manicured grass lawns really doesn't make sense when you realize how valuable these weeds, these plants really are to us. And so I know you have a company called Be Happy Lands that helps landowners or, you know, public spaces figure out how to balance their green spaces. And could you talk a little bit about how you do that?
So, yeah, so the nonprofit that I helped start over 22 years ago is called Turtle Lake Refuge. And then from Turtle Lake Refuge, we just to give a background before I go to the next question, but Turtle Lake Refuge, our mission is to celebrate the connection between personal health and wild lands. And so in Durango, we have a wild food cafe that we serve lunch twice a week. And, you know, we're using dandelions and thistles in our meals and lots of recipes from dandelion sorbet ice cream to thistle root chai tea. And, you know, all these different wild weeds go into our menu and into our products. And then in addition to that, we have a farm out here by Turtle Lake. And then an arm that was really clearly needed is called Be Happy Lands. And it's an organic land stewardship project where we are really advocating that communities and people in private lands, public lands, do not use herbicides anymore. We really have them stop spraying both chemical fertilizers and herbicides on the land. And then we come in and we'll harvest the wild weeds, and we're spreading seeds. If it's a big field or a park, we're going to be spreading the seeds that they want there, along with a lot of soil amendments like compost and some manure and mulch. And we use biochar and we use seaweed, and we're using inoculating it with microorganisms. So we're feeding the soil, which creates stability and nourishment, nutrition, adding a lot of diversity of plant seeds, and then ultimately bringing an ecology into a greater balance. So that is what our main project is. And we've been working with towns and communities all around the Southwest, Colorado and Southwest area.
Amazing. It's so important. And I think there's so many communities that could, you know, learn from what you're doing and follow suit and ask their towns and communities to see what they can do to have their green spaces be more healthy and more vibrant and take care of the soil and nourish it so that it is in balance. And that also this understanding that we should appreciate these weeds and love them just as we love looking at the grass. And so I'm so grateful that you've shared this knowledge, that you've inspired me and so many communities around, you know, Durango. And yeah, I wonder if people here are thinking, oh man, I've been spraying my yard all these years because I think I'm supposed to, and I think my neighbors think I'm supposed to. I mean, what do you say to people? What are some of the reasons why it's important to think about the soil health and our own health in terms of this kind of approach to spraying and going for this perfectly green grass?
Yeah. I appreciate your passion for this also. You've been such an advocate of organic land stewardship as well. And I really align with you in your passion. And I have a similar one. And what's so exciting about the weeds is that they are the step towards regenerating the soil. And so they come in with disturbance. And so it's interesting how we can narrowly think they are the problem, but they're an indicator of a problem being solved. Like they are, nature brings them there to solve the problem of disturbance because they have these deep tap roots that break up that compacted soil and start aerating the soil. And then all their leaves drop and recompost into new topsoil year after year. And of course, their flowers are the essential forage for all the wild pollinators and honeybees in our region. And so they're just absolutely the best thing that nature is offering to any land. And then humans are very interesting because, well, they didn't used to be here, therefore they do not belong here. And so we get rid of them thinking they're noxious, invasive. Oh, they're so aggressive, they're going to take over. And what's interesting is that the land has already been disturbed or they would not be there. I mean, that's just how nature works. They are the primary and first succession species. So as soon as the land gets more fertile, they're going to make way for the next succession species and then the more diverse crops and then the more perennial bushes. And all of a sudden, you're moving back towards a new climactic or native plant community. But that just takes time. And then as soon as this disturbance happens, nature has to start over on step one again. And that's where the pioneer species come in. But humans don't somehow connect with that bigger picture sometimes. And we just stop with, oh, weeds are there, let's kill them. And so then what we, as a society, we're witnessing ourselves putting herbicides down to kill these weeds. Well, herbicide is the number one disturber of soil and microorganisms and health of a place. So if you do that, then nature's the only option nature can do is put the weeds down again every single year. And so then we have to spray every single year, and that's unfortunately what's happening. And so with a new way of looking at it, that we're using the weeds as part of our team. They're part of the regenerating of the soil team. So we do harvest them in moderation, but we actually don't want to get rid of them because they're doing the important work. But then we're spreading additional diversity of native grasses and other flowering species, and then really adding a lot of soil amendments and obviously not disturbing the ground anymore, creating more stability. So in the long term, this we're just assisting nature's way as best we can. But the biggest thing we can do is just get humans to stop spraying, because that's like the worst thing we can do to the land if we want to help heal it. And of course, it's really toxic to our children and to our pollinators and to our water and to the microorganisms of the soil.
And I mean, nothing exists in a vacuum. So you spray it on a park and it ends up getting into the river nearby and then getting into the ocean and affecting the fish there. And then we, eat those things. It's just, for me, it's so important to realize how connected everything is. And, people think they're just spraying this one weed and killing it, but, it's everything is connected to everything else. And so, like you're saying, this toxic herbicide, is another important element in my, opinion, and from so much research I've read, and why there's so much disease in our culture. So that, like you're saying, getting rid of this herbicide is not just going to be important in maintaining healthy lands, but in maintaining health of our entire planet, right?
Yes, and seeing how essential we are and everything is, that every single being belongs exactly where it is. There's that greater tolerance for true diversity of allowing it all to simultaneously exist. And I don't know, but my story with the wild weeds is interesting because I was in love with all plants growing up as a child, and then I started noticing, whoa, some of my best friends are getting targeted and sprayed, and they'd be curled and twisted and dying, and as I would bike by, and it was just heartbreaking. And that what's interesting is that I moved out by Turtle Lake, and then pretty quickly after that, my neighbor moved in, and they started a chemical lawn care company called Scotts ChemLawn, and they sprayed the entire county and all the Durango City parks. And That was like my worst nightmare of having a neighbor right next door, and they would store all their herbicides. They had tens of thousands of gallon tanks, 10 different ones in this storage shed, and they would store them all there and spray them out at the end of the season, right on the land next to the organic gardens that I was growing. So I had a really intense, adverse relationship in many ways with my neighbors, as far as like us being on opposite perspectives of weeds and value. But 3 years ago, they put their place up for sale. And I guess I'll just say I've been so grateful to them because they motivated me to write the Wild Wisdom of Weeds book. And they, were a big impetus of helping, a team of us starting the Organic Parks movement, and which you're a part of as well. And but 3 years ago, they put their place up for sale, and it worked out with my mom's mom, my grandmother's house sold right then, and we were able to buy this land, and so our farm doubled, and we took on a big project of remediating very toxic soil. Like, we had glyphosate, we did all these soil sample tests, and I would send them off, and we could test for four different herbicides, even though there were probably more in there. But it was all very toxic in the beginning, and then after a huge amount of organic compost tea and mulch, and we used a lot of mushroom mycelium broken in, because a lot of those microorganisms, especially the fungi, have this ability to break down petrochemicals. They have an enzyme that can do that. And so after 2+ years, we did, I would soil set tam sample every 2 years or every 6 months. And after 2 years, 2.5 years, the glyphosate was down to 0.0001%. And so we ended up now having this great market garden, and we remediated even the stinky shed where they stored all the chemicals. And we used a lot of clay to draw out the toxins from the concrete and sprayed microorganisms all in the building. And now it's an amazing community building where we do yoga and ecstatic dances and have, it's a community kitchen and a really great space.
Oh, yes. That's so exciting, and I'm just smiling so big. And it's such a great story to share that, in just a couple of years, things can shift completely because nature is so resilient and wants to be healthy. And yeah, so it's such a great reminder that things aren't so overwhelming that we shouldn't try. Like, if you really care and you try in just a couple of years, you can turn something from so toxic to so vibrant. So, wow, thank you for doing
That's
that and
right.
sharing that. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it was just such a miracle. I think I just couldn't believe it when the herbicide trucks came and loaded those tanks and drove them out of the valley. I just laid down on the ground and cried because it had been holding this tension for 20 years. And it was just such a miracle that it could change in a lifetime.
Oh, it is a miracle. Oh, that's so awesome. It actually brings me to, I was going to share one of these quotes from your book. You said that you see a future that welcomes and aligns with the wild side of nature. You say, I see our agricultural culture shift its practices from exclusively commercially grown cotton, soybean, wheat, and corn crops into an integration, including amaranth and other beneficial wild crops. And with the help of underground microbial networking activity of the mushroom kingdom, in particular the oyster mushroom, the toxicity from the petrochemical poisons of herbicides can be cleaned up and broken down. Yeah, so you did that. And so mushrooms, yeah, I know that you are very knowledgeable about mushrooms and wild mushrooms and edible mushrooms. And so tell us a little bit more just about the incredible intelligence of mushrooms.
When we started this project, I had just kind of relied on other people's research, like Paul Stamets' research of using the oyster mushrooms for some petrochemical spills. But then, as I continued on the journey, I realized that any, well, what happened is before my neighbors sold their property, before I even knew it was going to be a possibility, we had done a permaculture project on our side of the fence where I dug a big trench to protect ourselves from the herbicide spillage or runoff. And I dropped in a lot of oyster mushroom mycelia and a lot of straw and compost and wood chips and some big kind of oak boughs, and buried it all up. And then it was sort of a long just trench that went over the whole like land, especially by the herbicide storage shed. And then 2 years went by, nothing happened. But then we had this huge rain where it was a hurricane in Texas. And we got 10 days of solid rain. And then right after that, all these mushrooms exploded from that trench. But they were not oyster mushrooms. It was actually the saprophytic competitor that came in, and it was a conocyte mushroom. And so it was just so fascinating to realize, oh, you know, all the native mushrooms, I don't even know all the names of all the mycelium. You know, when you see those white networky hairs in moldy straw or mulch or wood chips or whatever, all of those mushrooms have the same capacity to break down petrochemicals as the studied oyster mushroom does, probably in different ways and all of that. But I just started realizing, oh, I don't need a mushroom from far away. I can use any of my old funky, you know, mulch piles that are filled with that to do the good work. So that was an exciting breakthrough. So when we were remediating the land, we were just using every kind of, you know, every little pile of mycelium that we found in old straw piles and mulch piles.
That is amazing. So, yeah, mushrooms are helping to remediate the land, and the wild plants are trying to remediate the land. Everything in nature is trying to bring back balance and bring back health. And basically, what I have learned from you is that if we align ourselves with nature and we come into a relationship with the plants and the wild things around us, we're going to start to naturally fall into alignment and balance.
Yeah, they're helping us. We need the most help of all. You know, it's so
Exactly.
funny when we speak and we point the finger of, oh, those noxious invading, they're taking over. You know, we're forgetting to look where the other three fingers are pointing at,
Right.
which is, well, if we're going to look at a problem, we better get a little closer to the
Yeah.
source, which is the human. You know, we're just the best as human beings, the best species for disturbing and compacting soil.
Totally. And it also makes me think of, we have this horrible word, noxious, about these weeds that are considered invaders, like in quotation marks. And then there's also this parallel with, people who believe that people moving here from other countries are like invading this land. And it seems so crazy to me. It's just like with the weeds. Like, actually, if you understand that we're all in relationship, we're all meant to be here, there's no such thing as invasion and noxious. And I've heard you talk about that a little bit before. And I just, yeah, I wonder what you say about that.
It's so great to drop into the present moment and realize, okay, we have two ways of looking at the world. One is, yeah, from that perspective of problem, and the other is we can look at the same situation with this new lens of resource or solutions. And so some it's fun to challenge ourselves anytime we come up to a problem in it, and then say, okay, I want to look deeper into this problem and find the gems that the resource that this problem actually is. And so with the weeds, you know, we can stop and just say, oh, they're the problem. But if we go deeper, whoa, this is incredible medicine, incredible food, incredible remediation of land, incredible forage for bees and pollinators. You know, it's taking up, if they don't grow there, nothing will grow there. And so we just, it changes that emotional energy into a one of gratitude. And so with different humans and different cultures moving in, it's an incredible resource to be exposed to different traditions and ways of eating and ways of living. And it ultimately is such a gift to adding this diversity of care for the earth and care for our bodies and care for community in a new way. And so, yeah, the difference can be jarring at first, or the change, but then when we can soften into the change and then see the resource, then we get this feeling of gratitude, which is one of the most healthy emotions we can have.
So beautiful. Well, I'm so grateful that I had a chance to talk with you on the podcast today. And yeah, I'm so grateful that you're in my life, Katrina. And thank you for sharing with my listeners here. Is there anything else you wanna leave our listeners with today? Anything exciting or where to find you, a new
Well,
project?
Oh, thanks, Lily. I guess I just want to appreciate you also so much for being such a motivated, incredible steward in our community of care, care for our children and the earth and our bodies and each other. And so I am equally honored to consider you such a dear friend. So thank you for this
Yeah,
podcast and
thank
this
you, Trina.
opportunity to share more. And then if people are interested in connecting more with, what we're doing at Turtle Lake Refuge through wild food classes or any of these projects or our farm, you can go to turtlelakerefuge.org. That's our website. But you can also just come to our cafe if you're in Durango. Our lunches are on Turtle Tuesdays and Frog Fridays. And you can even stop in any day of the week, and we have a little mini market store, and you can get more information or get involved. But I definitely am available for further connections with people.
Great. Yes. Well, thank you again so much. And I do encourage all my listeners to go and check out your book, Wild Wisdom of Weeds, and go find Turtle Lake Refuge and eat at the cafe and get some of those delicious products and start letting the wild wisdom of weeds really impart their wisdom on you. So again, thank you, Katrina.
Yeah. Well, this feels like such a celebration of that wild revolution, of letting the earth come through us again, as we have probably done throughout ages and ages of being human.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
Thank
thanks
you,
again
Lily.
for being a part of my journey too, and just inspiring me to be more aligned with nature and to, yeah, you're a big part of my journey and grateful to be in community with you.
Oh, thank you so much, Lily.
I want the sun to heal me.